It was 19 years ago this week that two airliners plowed into the World Trade Center and forever altered our world. On that day, close to 3,000 people perished, including 343 firefighters who were killed when the WTC towers collapsed. In the years since, the death toll from that dark day has continued to climb, and most likely has exceeded the number of deaths on the day of the attack as a consequence of the toxic air that persisted in Lower Manhattan for months. Yesterday, WBGO contributor Bob Henley joined us from one of the 9/11 memorial ceremonies. Bob, who's a reporter with the Chief Leader, has been tracking the long-term health consequences for first responders and the residents of Lower Manhattan. Thanks for joining us, Bob. First, because it was a long time ago, could you go back and describe the circumstances in the fall of 2001 that led to so many thousands of people being exposed to air that would either kill them or make them chronically ill, and just what has been the scale of the human toll since?
Well, it's important to keep in mind that after 9/11, thousands of first responders rushed from the New York City area and then even around the world, and certainly throughout the United States, and that what we had here were several months where there was an active scene. I think for many weeks, the fires continued to burn. One of the things that really set up the circumstance, which has turned out to be a very large-scale death toll since then, was the fact that the EPA at the time, under the leadership of Todd Whitman, under pressure from the Bush administration, advised people that the air in Lower Manhattan was safe to breathe. And as a consequence of that, people did not take the occupational protections required. And for many years, they resisted. At least, we remember now that there's a consensus about this impact of the occupational exposure. But for a period of time, the city resisted even calling this. Today, you've had as more people actually passed from occupation exposure, and we have some 50-some-odd thousand individuals who are on the World Trade Center program. And it's expected that it's actually known that over half the firefighters that responded that day have long-term respiratory issues.
In your reporting, you have said that much of the reluctance of the city's United Federation of Teachers to return to the classroom this fall in the midst of the pandemic was informed by their post-9/11 experience. How so?
Well, one of the things that happened was, and it's interesting because there's an echo of history in our current circumstance with COVID, there was a real imperative, I'm sure, to return to normalcy. Remember, Lower Manhattan is a global financial nerve center with Wall Street. And so the UFT even moved its headquarters to Lower Manhattan, and it signed on to the Giuliani administration's decision to reopen dozens of schools in Western Brooklyn and in Lower Manhattan with 2,500 teachers and some 19,000 students. And as a consequence, though, because of how toxic the environment was, they've lost dozens of professionals since, and there's a process now where they're trying to locate the city is these students who are K-12 who may have long-term World Trade Center related diseases, which takes on additional urgency with the complication of COVID. So this is why the UFT, in addition to the city's reluctance to shut down schools during the pandemic and the loss of life they experienced more recently, this is informing the UFT's very cautious concern about putting safety first.
We know that one of the characteristics of COVID is that people with pre-existing conditions like the WTC-linked diseases are most at risk from the deadly virus. Are there first responders who were on active duty on 9/11 and developed a WTC condition since and are still working? And how are they negotiating that risk to themselves and their families?
Well, of course, and that's a wrinkle here, right, because COVID does mean you have to take into account your family. Sadly, we've had several EMTs, some of whom were on duty during 9/11 and who stayed on all through this period of time, who have succumbed to the virus. Something close to 300 New York City civil servants, an undetermined number of whom probably had World Trade Center health conditions, have also passed. Similarly, we've had the GWU, a union that represents the MTA workers, 131 have passed. I have not seen a breakout, but certainly anyone that, you know, you're just for starting at your civil service career, and when that that happened if you just started around that time and now you were thinking about retirement? So it's a constant concern to this workforce, which is one of the reasons why the city's unions is trying to move towards early retirement for this part of the workforce that has this elevated risk of COVID.
Bob, you've written for Insider NJ that there's a strong historical parallel between what 9/11 first responders had to deal with and what essential workers across the country are now facing in the midst of this pandemic that's killed nearly 200,000. What's the through line between these two events almost 20 years apart?
Well, Doug, the thing is reliance on official sources. So early on, as I said, when we started, the EPA gave a guarantee that the air was safe to breathe. Similarly, we had a situation where the CDC, early on in this crisis, told individuals in healthcare and first responders that they should keep their N95 masks on use them for an entire week. They knew, and at the time the unions, like New York Nurses Association, raised this concern that the CDC's effort to manage the inventory was short-sighted, because the way that is supposed to work, the N95 is supposed to work, is that you remove your mask after each clinical encounter. It's not something you adopt and put in your lunch pail. And the nurses, the union, predicted that this would result in a loss of life for healthcare professionals and would turn the hospitals into a vector for the virus we're fighting. And sadly, both things happened. The unions were ignored.
WBGO's Bob Henley, thanks for joining us on this difficult day.
Thanks so much for having me, Doug.